Welcome to the Barack Obama Approved World's Greatest Podcast, Hyphenation. I'm your dashing, daring, debonair host, Kellen Conley. And there are leaves blowing in my car. Come on, man. This is what the problem is. Fall's here. Everybody's like, oh, fall's not till September 22nd, Dad. Fall's not till September 22nd. Fall starts when August ends, for me. Stupid leaves are falling off the trees, falling in my car. I ain't got time for this shit. I want it to be 80 all the time. And yes, I know I'm in the wrong place, but you can't help where you live sometimes. Dang, now it's like literally raining freaking leaves. I'm under siege from leaves. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you tune in for. This is truly the world's greatest podcast. So I'm pulling up away from the trees. Man. Leave me alone, trees. Y'all are annoying. Okay. There we go. Anyhoozle. None of that's settled. And I'm not under fire anymore. Like, there's literally little yellow leaves. Ugh. Under. And it fell in my car. Because I got the windows down. Because the temperature's still nice. Morgantown weather report. It's nice. It's partly cloudy. For all those who've been waiting these precious seconds that we've been together, it's partly cloudy, guys. Very nice day. Very nice, air quotes, summer day. But for me, once September's here, it's all downhill from here. September, it peaks back up in January for my birthday, and then it's just all back downhill again until April. I'm sorry. I'm a warm weather dude, man. I am what I am. This episode's brought to you by McDonald's Coffee. Shout out to McDonald's Coffee. Only a dollar. Can't beat that. I'm actually going to have two cups today because your boy had a late shift. Late shift. Hee hee. Oh, that was bad. Anyway. Hyphenation is always brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group, a Morgantown, West Virginia-based podcast collective bringing great podcast to the people. HyphenPodcastGroup.com. Cheer. Also brought to you by the MARCROB.wordpress.com. That's Mark Robb, written by my semi-regular co-host. He's your friend, my friend, Marcus Show and Mad Love Robinson. He just put up a scathing takedown of one Sean Corey Carter. And I'm not even going to say it because I've been announcing stuff on this pod about, oh, this is coming up. This is coming up. And then two of those things have now disappeared. But yeah, if you go to the markrob.wordpress.com right now, read his, it's the third in the series called When Rappers Aren't Heroes. The first one's about Lil Wayne and his racism doesn't exist comments. The second one's about Kanye and his slavery was a choice thing. And now we've arrived with Jay-Z being the next contestant on the summer jam screen, as he put it. It is a very, 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 very good read. I recommend it. I know what I said on 108, but I still recommend it. And hopefully more on this topic later. Okay. Damn. That's what I get for talking with my aunts. So, I canceled on Mark Busquet last week. I was like, hey, Mark, got some things going on. Do you mind moving it to another day? And so we agreed on Sunday. He's like, yeah, that'll work. I'm like, all right, cool. Sunday, he's like, oh, I got to cancel. Got some things coming up. So, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm rescheduling Mr. Busquet for another time. Hopefully soon. He says he's going to get back to me, and we'll figure it out. So Mark's episode is on the back burner officially. Okay? Okay, Cupcake? Then, my semi-regular co-host and I were talking on Sunday. Sunday was not a good day as far as hyphenation plan collaborations. We were talking and he's like, about Jay-Z thing. Because he releases Jay-Z column piece on Monday. We were talking on Labor Day. And he's like, I was like, blah, blah, blah. We got to get together. We'll have to, let's talk about your views on this when we do the Jay-Z 10-year anniversary of Blueprint 3 and Jay-Z 20-year anniversary of Volume 3 episode. And he's like, it ain't gonna be any good because I don't really feel like listening to this fool's music. So I'm like, oh, okay. So rather than me try to force Marcus to sit through an episode that he really doesn't want to partake in as far as musically, I will now be bringing you the Jay-Z episode solo, Volume 3 and Blueprint 3. Unless by some weird happening, I get another co-host. But more than likely, that will just be a solo episode of me going through 2009's Blueprint 3 and 1999's Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Carter or Life and Times of Sean Carter. Okay. I'm okay with it, though. Maybe Marcus will change his mind by the time I record it, because it's going to get recorded. So maybe he'll be like, you know what? I can't stand this guy right now, but you know what? I really want to listen to There's Been a Murder. I doubt it, though. But I'm going to still do it. Okay. Now that's cleaned up. I do want to make a little statement about Hyphen Podcast Group. I'm going to be switching up the way that we promote things, or I promote things, just a little bit. I have been trying to do the consistent images across Instagram with the black and white, with the episode covering black and white, and I throw the pink text up there a la Black Friday, or Black Fridays, Good Fridays, like Kanye did in 2010. Was that 2010 or 2011? It was 2010. Watch the Throne was 2011. So I kind of tried to do that thing. And I love how it looks. Problem is, I can't do it on my phone. So there has been a few days where I'm a couple days behind posting images for new episodes because I literally need my paint.net program on my computer in order to literally change the background, change this image to black and white, and then lower the opacity to 75. And then I put the text up. That's all it takes. But I need layer access and stuff like that. So there's no app on my phone that allows me to literally put an image up and then put a black layer behind it, then make the image black and white, and then lower the opacity. And then do text. Because even if I could do that, I could get it to a computer if I had to use Ribbit. Because Ribbit is like my main home dog when it comes to image editing online. I've been a faithful user for a while now. They even gave me premium for a couple months, and that was cool. But yeah, here's a recommendation for you. If you're in a pinch and you need a powerful online image editor, what little green bug, get out of my car. Yeah, there you go. If you need a pretty powerful, user-friendly image editor online on a website, if you need access to it, I always recommend Ribbit.com, R-I-B-B-E-T.com, and then also Pixlr, Pixlr.com/X, which is our new online editor. Both of those will help you get the job done. They also have an editor option, a full editor option, Pixlr does, but it hasn't been working that great for me recently, especially with, because they run ads and it'll slow down your computer and stuff. So I've been using the Pixlr.com/X, and those are my main go-tos for a lot of my image work.
see it out of the corner of your eye, at the end of an alleyway that didn't exist before. The light seems to flicker and threatens to sputter out. It's a theater, and there's only one film playing. You don't recognize the title, although it stirs something in your mind. Welcome to The Mirage, the theater of movies that do not exist. Cinematic Mirage is a podcast exclusive to the Domicile of Dread Patreon about films that were greenlit that never made it to the silver screen. Join Thomas DJ as he explores how the projects came together, why they stopped production, and what they may have been about. It's free to all Patreons at the $5 a month level or more. To learn more and to sign up, go to patreon.com/DJ's Domicile of Dread. Cinematic Mirage. A seat's waiting for you.
But I'm going to figure out something because I want to be able to post the images sooner. The hashtags are not working as well as I'd like them to be working. Normally with hashtags before, the ones I was using, I was getting at least 10 likes a post, and anything above that was great. That started dwindling. I recently changed the hashtags probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was getting a decent response then, but now the actual images on Instagram are only getting like 4 likes a pop. And I mean, that's like I just posted the one for the Leah episode, and I literally have 2 likes, and one of those is mine for my main account. So I don't. Oh, is that thunder? I don't know, man. I really don't, because, for example, I just picked this random Instagram thing. There's this Keeper Sport account. It's an e-commerce website. So, and they said, we had this soccer player on our Keeper cast. And it gets, the likes are, podcasts are just so competitive right now, is the problem. And I can't help but be a little frustrated that the engagement's not there, so I'm changing up the hashtags on Instagram, maybe figuring out something that's easier for me to do as far as every image is getting posted, so that I can get back to posting those more regularly. And then I'm actually debating, and any feedback I can get on this will be cool. I also cross-post the images to the Hyphen Podcast Group Twitter, which is Hyphen Pod Group, and the Facebook page, Hyphen Podcast Group. And I cross-post them, and pages in the algorithm on Facebook is just ridiculous. And the thing is, with Twitter, there's only 280 characters. So it ends up cutting off the caption anyway. There's a link back to Instagram, which is good. But then it's like, am I really engaging anybody by posting image episodes that lead to Instagram, where it literally is click the link in the bio so you can check out the website? So there's that. I may be changing that up. Dart Adams of Dart Against Humanity and hip hop historian and friend of Eric and Lamarique. When he posts his pod, he posts then up, he just literally posts a link to all these different outlets, and on Twitter at least. And I don't see him getting like a ton of likes and retweets, but still, I really feel like the option of being able to go directly to whatever platform you like is something I need to start doing. I'm also thinking about taking the actual episodes themselves off of hyphenpodcastgroup.com. Because while it's cool that I have created this single feed for everything, which is what, go away, moth. Man, everything's attacking me. While it's cool, I've created this single feed that has every Hyphen Podcast Group show in it, which I created because it was supposed to be the, how am I trying to say this? It was supposed to, not fix. Man. It was supposed to fix what happens when the site goes down. When the site goes down, then at least I could be like, here is the main feed. You can go there and access all the episodes at once, and that way we had a backup. I'm thinking, because I'm looking at some of these podcast websites, and even like 13 Palm Trees out of Fairmont, they literally just have the shows, and then they have a bunch of links to how to play the episodes and stuff, different platforms. Now the bigger brands like Earwolf and then other brands, I don't even know what Nerdist does. I tried to look at some Nerdist podcast stuff, and I could not do it. Like, I just got news and news and news. I don't even know if they have their own separate brand now. Like, The Ringer, they include the links on the actual website, and then Loudspeakers, they do that as well. So let me just do Nerdist Podcast real quick. Podcast 101. Nerdist Podcast Network. Oh, okay, so they have a podcast channels thing now. So yeah, so if I go to Nerdist, it says podcast shows, but it's not giving me any shows. Type in your search. It doesn't even work. The main thing I'm wondering is, it, by having Hyphen Podcast Group literally have every single show on it, am I doing anybody... are people really checking a website like that, you know? Because Marcus has always asked me, like, what if we drive the traffic one direction? And I was like, I do drive it one direction to hyphenpodcastgroup.com, but here's something that is very relevant. I said, like, elephant. Very really relevant. Something that's really relevant in 2019. And funny thing, me and Marcus have a whole outtake of us talking about how people don't go to websites anymore. People don't go to websites anymore. And maybe I'll throw this at the end of this episode so you can hear that little discussion. But they literally don't. Where, they have their big brands and stuff, but people are so phone-oriented that everything has an app. And I mean, obviously, then the idea is like, oh, well, why don't you just create a Hyphen Podcast Group app? Good idea. Who's going to make it? Because I can't do it. I can code HTML. I am a old school coder. I can barely code HTML5. I taught myself how to HTML from when I got in, during my rap battle board days, when I used to run it around on Easy Board. Easy Board would let you use HTML to make changes to the site and stuff. That's how I started learning HTML, and then I got into fan fiction. And then fan fiction, I started Marvel Anthology and DC Anthology. I was literally taking other people's code and stealing it from my site, and then eventually that went off into me learning how to do my own stuff. So I can make you a dope-ass looking site that would be fire in 2003. But anything else, you know, it's pretty hit or miss. Never learned CSS, so. That's cascading style sheets for you bastards. So yeah, if I was able to create a Hyphen Podcast Group app, that would obviously be the way. But when there's all these other free apps already, your Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, your Radio Publics, your Stitchers, your Google Podcasts, your Spotify's, All in Google Play Music. Anthony still uses that. When you have all these other platforms, there has to be another way to, especially when you're small, little, I barely want to call it a startup, a small idea like we have at Hyphen Podcast Group, excuse me, you don't want to overstep. You know, and you don't have the money to spend or the resources to spend to create an app or anything else. So I'm going to start trying to drive the traffic not so much away from Hyphen Podcast Group, but you know, when I'm going to start figuring out a way to, when these episodes drop, that literally I just have to copy and paste something, send it out to the social medias with an episode image if there is one. or at least the episode logo, because just a real quick look at Dart stuff, and this is why I love my podcast. I had no plans on talking this much about all this hyphenation stuff and hyphen podcast group stuff, but this is what happens when you're the editor-in-chief. So, let's check out my man Dart here. Now, Dart literally doesn't sleep, and he tweets all day, and I don't know if he is in season, because I know when I was listening to Dart Against Humanity in the beginning, he always said he wanted to do seasons of a show and then take time off. He may have just wrapped his third season of Dart Against Humanity, so I'm just kind of rolling to see. When the last time he posted anything about Dart Against Humanity was. He has another Twitter account too that he normally posted on. I don't know if I can be. I don't care remember the name off the top of my head. Let me do. Producers I Know. Here we go. So, 4 days ago, Producers I Know. He posted Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. Then he just put the show logo, Dart Against Humanity. 2 retweets and 2 likes. This is on August 31st. And then all he did was on each of these, I'm trying to see if he did literal links to the episodes themselves. Or if he was just linking to, I believe my man is just, he's linking directly to the main show feed. That's all he's doing. And this is something that I think I want to start doing, because I feel like if people at least see the links, then they have their options, and then we go from there. And then just make hyphen podcast group just, these are shows. This is what the show's about. Here's your links. And then, I guess the only thing else to do would be to feature the Facebook page and the Twitter page predominantly and the IG, because I believe there's plugins that show all those things, to show where things are popping off social media-wise and kind of keep you up to date. I don't know. I got a vision for it. We'll see. We'll see. The HTML may have to come back out. Because literally, I don't know. I don't know. Like, other than the older shows, which is all pre-hyphenation, there's not a lot of reason for me. I just want to see what happens, you know? And that way, if the site goes down, it's not going to matter. The gigantic feed that I've built would go away. But then I'm not taking away from anything. So I'm going to wrap this up because I could keep talking about this forever, apparently. But I do want to send a special shout out to It's Like a Podcast or whatever. Because they are 24th on the Apple Podcast charts for animation and manga. Is it manga or manga? Manga, animation, manga. They're 24th. That's right. That's the highest that any hyphenation show, hyphen podcast group show's ever charted. I'm super pumped for them, man. Shout out to Eric and Lamb and Level Ground and Eric Rivas was just on the show, and Kayan, and Kit Kat Chinetti, and Everyday Rogue, and Everyday Olive, and Nancy Lamarique, and your girl, Franny, shit, I hope y'all listen to this. I'm supposed to be talking to her about some things. Franny, shout out to her. Obvious Nonsense, shout out to the whole Alapow family. 100 is coming up very soon, and they're 24th, man. I'm super proud of them. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw out this other recommendation. New podcast has just come out. It is called Swordcast, and it is by two gentlemen who Eric personally knows. One is a dope-ass producer. No. Stop. Well, that's them actually talking there. Wait, Swordcast. Can I go to the page? Go to the podcast. Here we go. Yeah, Swordcast. Sorcast, hashtag the Sorcast is a pod where we geek out about anime, video games, comics, pro wrestling, Star Wars films, martial arts, TV shows, sports, anything else that fits under our umbrella. Explored from the lens of a Detroit-bred black and brown artist navigating a hip-hop space. Episodes on Tuesdays. Stay tuned. And it's by a novelist who actually, I haven't checked out his music, but he apparently is a rapper, is doing very well for himself. And Hero, who is a producer, who actually does the, who has been doing the Alapal intros for a while, the instrumentals. I really want that girl boy beat. I haven't come up with the money yet, but we talked. And then he actually, some of the beds that you hear on like Lemon on the Edge, like the intro of that, and then the music that plays underneath Aaliyah's Hyphenation ad, that's Hero too. So yeah, all of that. Am I saying, is it Hyro or Hero? Shit. Now I feel like an asshole because I'm calling him Hero. I think it's Hyro. Hyro, I'm sorry. Fuck, just listen to Swordcast. Ah, man. So now that all that's out the way, let me clean out my spam folder, my spam that I've just gotten emailed. So let me do that real quick. Spam. Yes, I did change my password. If you made the change, you can ignore this email. And then finally, you forgot your password. Yep, that's done too. Woohoo. So who's ready to get into the Stranger Things 3? I know I am. Boy, oh boy. So, released on July the 4th, 2019, 8 episodes of Stranger Things, the third season, the third part, came at our faces. And I probably said it like that because I was listening to Aisha Tyler and Girl on God while I mowed last night. And funny thing, they did, Stranger Things did 9 episodes in, oh, it doesn't matter, never mind. They did 9 episodes of season 2 and 8 episodes of season 1. I thought maybe they were like doing 10, 9, like kind of getting shorter as we go along. Nope. Anyway, one more recommendation. Listen to Aisha Tyler's podcast, Girl on Guy. It's since been stopped for about 3 years now. But she had a wonderful conversation with Taye Diggs on an episode. And I was highly impressed by just the whole thing. So I'm just going to see real quick. I don't even know if you can listen to it without, because everything's behind a paywall anymore. Actually, it is on YouTube. Chia. So I'm actually going to get my recommendation on in real life.
This
is Girl on Guy. Stranger Things 3. So we pick back up, what was it, a year or so after the events of the first of 2? Let me just double check that premise. I don't care. It's summer of 85. So, 1985, the year of our Lord Michael J. Fox. Okay, not true Lord, but God, G-A-W-D. In fact, Back to the Future is playing at one of the places that the crew frequents in Stranger Things 3. And that crew would be our heroes, Mike Wheeler, Dustin Henderson, Lucas Sinclair, and Will Byers. Yes, I'm looking because I don't want to be like, that kid, the one with no teeth, this other kid, this one. Like I said, I didn't want to do that. So, hi, guy. World's Greatest Podcast in Progress. Walk your dogs. So, the big news in Hawkins, Indiana, is there is a mall. And it's a big deal because Hawkins, Indiana is a small town thing. Gonna take my boys to the Starcourt Mall. I'm gonna ride that I can, though. You get the drift. So, 1985, small town. Hawkins has always had a small town vibe. It had in Winchester, they call it Old Town Winchester. Had a very, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, like a downtown street corner, Main Street. They had pretty much, Hawkins had a main street with all your shops, and that's where everybody would go and get everything. that they needed, and it was even for the 80s. I mean, this is what happened in the 80s, like coming out of the 70s and 80s, like the small town still had had those mom and pop shops. And then as big town America came to smaller towns, the mall started moving in. So literally the mall has arrived. Starcourt Mall, awesome name, at Hawkins. And it's putting all the other stores out of business. Like Joyce's store, who is Will's mom, has no business at all. Like literally, she's standing around talking to Hopper all day. I think that she literally, when she's in the shop, which wasn't that much this season, I think only one person came to see her that wasn't Hopper. So, there's that. The kids are hella excited about the mall. When we first see our guys, we don't see Dustin. Dustin is coming back from, he went to, what they call it, slumber camp? I don't even think that's right. Let's see, Dustin returns from summer science camp. There we go. Mike and Lucas and, yeah, she had never been in it all. So Lucas, Mike, and Will, they sneak into the movies thanks to best friend by default, Steve. Yes, Steve. One of my favorite characters, one of the best character arcs in the series. Why is my man Steve Harrington right there? Yeah, Steve works at this ice cream parlor. He works with this lovely lady who happens to be Ethan Hawke's kid, Maya Hawke, Robin, at this ice cream shop. I'm trying to see if I can see the ice cream shop name. Doesn't really matter, but Scoops Ahoy. Damn, that thing's coming back to me. I'm on a roll. Feel like Miley Cyrus, man. Feel like, let's see if I remember her name. Ashley O in Black Mirror. Man, it's going to be a good day. I didn't look at any of that. But yeah, he works at Scoops Ahoy with his new co-worker, Robin. And so he's helping the boys sneak into the mall so they can go to movies. And that's essentially how our story begins. So I'm going to try to wing this as much as possible, because I really want to just talk to you about the show as a whole and not recap every single thing. Because obviously Stranger Things is a huge deal. It's been a huge deal for several years. I believe it first premiered in 16. Stranger Things 2 came out in 17. They took last year off, and now this is them coming back for the third season. And if I'm correct, I believe there's only two more seasons left of Stranger Things. So we're going to get a Stranger Things 4 and 5 before it's all said and done. So the gist of this season is, of course, first season we deal with the Demogorgon, and 11 took that out. Of course, 11 was thought dead. Turns out she was not dead, and Hopper found her, and she officially became Hopper's adopted daughter by the end of season 2 of Stranger Things 2. Well, and season 2, of course, was about, I can see that giant-ass monster. It was about Will being possessed by something else from the Upside Down, and the boys trying to figure that out, and as well as Joyce, and then Will's brother, Jonathan, and Nancy. They all came together to figure things out. So this season is about the Mind Flayer. And the Mind Flayer, instead of, I don't know what song it is. And the Mind Flayer, instead of previously where the season 2 monster, and I'm just going to have to look so I can not sound like the season 2 monster, which is exactly what I didn't want to do. Hold on. Oh, and of course, Lucas is still dating Maxine. Can't leave out Maxine. She is definitely a part of this. Let's see. The group developed a plan to close the gate without killing Will. The Demo Dogs were a big part. Oh, it was okay. My bad. So the Mind Flayer is still alive following the events of Stranger Things 2. Because in the season 2, they had taken over, the Mind Flayer went out directly after Will, because Will was like his connection to the real world. And so it had, because he had been an Upside Down in season 1. So in season 2, he took over Will, and they were literally trying to use will to invade the world. It didn't work out. They didn't destroy the Mind Flayers. So the Mind Flayers' plan in season 3 is to go full invasion of the Body Snatchers on everybody. So its first victim, naturally, is a kid who nobody liked following the events of season 2. Would have been Maxine's brother. Why can't I read better? Billy Hargrove. There we go. Yeah, so Max's brother is Billy Hargrove. Billy Hargrove was complete ass in season 2. Continues to be a complete ass in season 3, but now it's for different reasons because he got possessed. So one of my favorite scenes to start off the series, I thought to myself, and I don't feel bad, thought to myself in season 2 when I was watching Stranger Things 2, I was like, man, Mike and Nancy's mom is kind of bad. I was like, man. And your boy Billy, he's a lifeguard, right, at the Hawkins pool. And my dude knows he's bad, okay? And all the older ladies, if you want to use the term MILF, you can. I'm not going to, but all the older ladies, let's say late 30s, mid 40s ladies who hang out at the pool in the summer because there's nothing else to do in Hawkins and it's hot as F. They're checking your man out, you know? Steve takes a keen interest in Mike and Nancy's mother. He even goes so far to proposition her, saying if she meets him at a pool at this motel, he will give her private swim lessons. And I gotta say, I'm not proud of it, but I was like, yo, I really want him to knock that down. Can you imagine the implications of the season? Because obviously Billy got possessed by the Mind Flayer. He was the main antagonist throughout the season. As more people got possessed by the Mind Flayer eventually became this even giant monster. But always Billy was like the main conductor of the Mind Flayer, you know, until the Mind Flayer took on its form and became this gigantic monster in like the last 2 or 3 episodes. And also, the Mind Flayer came to the main reality, because before it was only in the Upside Down, I think, because the Demodogs were around, but the Mind Flayer was only like existed in Will's mind. He could see it, but it actually was able to take form in reality in this season. So. Yeah, I was like, man, I hope Billy knocks that down. But Mike's mom turned it down. I didn't realize I was Mike's mom at first until I literally saw Mike, and she's getting ready to leave to go meet Billy. And then she looked over at Mike's dad, and he had the youngest kid sleeping on him. And then she called him and said she couldn't make it. Then, of course, Billy gets in a wreck, which ends up getting him being possessed by the Mind Flayer. But this season has several things going on, man. Hopper is trying to get with Joyce. Of course, Joyce is still upset about your hero, my hero, Bob Newby's unfortunate death of the Demodogs. He sacrificed himself so that Joyce and Hopper could get away in season 2. The kids may have been there as well at that point. I don't remember. But Bob sacrificed himself for the greater good of the greater good and to save Joyce. So she's still trying to get over that. Hopper is like, I want to take you on a date, I want to take you on a date, and Joyce is just not feeling it. Then strange things start happening. Haha, pun intended. Magnets start not, like all the magnets in Joyce's house get demagnetized, and same thing in the store. So Joyce, who's seen some shit, starts getting paranoid and goes and sees the boys' teacher, whose name is escaping me. I'm going to try to see if I can find his name, because it became a real problem for Hopper. Mr. Clark, Scott Clark, because Hopper's like, oh, you were hanging out with Scott while I was sitting at that restaurant waiting on you, blah, 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 because Joyce was just so focused on something's going on. Will kept feeling like something's going on, but nobody was taking the time to hang on him because Lucas was with Max, and Mike was with 11, and Mike and 11 were the perfect caricatures of young teenagers in love, because all they did all see, like, up until when shit started getting bad, so like the first 2 episodes or so before Mike lied to 11, pissed her off, and then she dumped his ass, and she literally said that, like, they were just Call me. I'll see you every day. That's all they did, man. And I have to say, I didn't hate him in season one. And I said I didn't like him in season two, but I do not like Mike Wheeler, man. Mike is my least favorite character on that show, even though I know he's the connection to L, truly. I mean, all the kids are connected to L now. But I do not like Mike. I don't like Mike. Anyway, strange things start happening. Joyce talks to Scott and kind of starts piecing things together on her side. Nancy is essentially an intern at a local paper. Jonathan is a photographer there. They're still together. Nancy answers the phone one day and finds out about these possessed rats. Rats happen to be at the same place where Billy got abducted. And so the rats are eating fertilizer and all kinds of weird stuff. And so they go investigate, and this rat is like totally rabid. And then essentially, I can't remember if the rat died in front of Jonathan or the rat died right after Jonathan left, because this old woman had the rat and she captured it and she showed it to him. And then they had to leave for some reason. The rat escaped, and then the rat ended up possessing the old woman. So the old woman was like Nancy and Jonathan's way into the story. So, and I'm trying to go over everything, but see, Stranger Things 3 is really good. Like, there hasn't been a bad season yet. I still say the OG Stranger Things is the best one, but Stranger Things 3 just barely squeaks out over season 2, Stranger Things 2. I really want to go back and rewatch it. Maybe I'll do that in Halloween, since it's perfect for Halloween. It's just masterfully done. So throughout the season, all these pieces start coming together. They found out the Russians are trying to reopen the gate that 11 closed in Stranger Things 2. So in order to get closer to the source, the Russians have literally moved into Hawkins in a secret facility underneath the Starcourt Mall. So they were partially responsible for bringing Starcourt in so they could hide these operations to reopen the gate. So Hopper and Joyce in their travels run directly into the Russians. And when I say Russian, there's this one dude. I don't even know if they named this guy. But Hopper gets in a fight with this dude, man. And he has a couple scraps with him. He has one with him, like, very early on. He gets his ass whooped. And I think he literally was out for, like, a day or so. And then Joyce had to drag his ass home. And then at the very end of the season, they have a drag out last man standing fight that ends with Hopper winning before the big finale of the season. But this Russian was straight textbook like Dolph Lundgren, Drago. He was awesome. Shout out to whoever that actor is. Let me see if I can Russian Stranger Things. I just want to see if I can get the Russian's name, because he was so good. I'm trying to see if they give the guy's name. No. But the main muscle, the Russian, he was awesome. Shout out to Alexei, who was one of the scientists who ended up running with Joyce and Hopper. And then they eventually run into my man, Murray, who's played by Brett Gelman, who I've been a fan of since, was it Married? The show that was on FX? Was that called Married? Because I know Your Divorce just ended. Married only had like one season or two seasons. Brett Gelman came back as Murray. He's the reason that Nancy and Jonathan hooked up in Stranger Things 2. So it's like this guy, Lexi, who loves Slurpees, and he's cute as a fucking button, man. And he ends up dying. Spoilers. If you didn't think I was going to spoil this shit, spoilers. He ends up dying after you come to care for him a lot. It was the Russian caught up with him, the badass Russian. Maybe his name Grigory? Maybe? I don't know. I don't know. But what was I saying? So Murray, Alexei's a Russian. So essentially all these working parts. So you have the main three boys, and of course Dustin comes back from camp, and Dustin ends up working with Steve and Robin to try to decipher this message that Dustin picked up on his radio. It was supposed to let him talk to his girlfriend. And yes, he actually does have a girlfriend all the way across the country. And they pick up this Russian stuff. So Steve and Robin and Dustin are trying to decipher that. And then Will and Will is mad at Lucas and Mike because they're interested in girls and he just wants to play D&D and they're growing up. And there's even a comment that Mike says about him not liking girls, and I don't know whether that's to take it that he literally doesn't like girls or if he's just not there yet, because literally he had a huge chunk of his childhood taken away from him when he was captured in the Upside Down. So there was that plot going on. Eleven and Max were bonding. And then, of course, everything's going on with Billy and slowly taking over more people, the townspeople of Hawkins. And then you have Joyce and Hopper and Alexi and Murray running around, running from the Russians, trying to figure out how to stop the Russians. And then it all comes together in a beautiful way where all the groups meet up. The monster's loose, is chasing everybody. Eleven is hurt, trying her damnedest to keep everybody safe. They have this huge battle at Starcourt Mall, and they literally call the episode Battle Starcourt. And what ends up happening in the season? Lucas's little sister, Erica, was the one who got Dustin and Steve and Robin into the secret Russian laboratory. So they infiltrated it, but then they were stuck there for a while. But then they all were able to escape. So they came together with Will and Eleven and Max and Mike and Lucas, who had been fighting Billy, and because they're pretty sure that was involving the Mind Flayers, they were dealing with that. And then Hopper and Joyce and Murray and Alexi, I don't know if Alexi was there, they all come back together. I think Alexi had been killed at that point. All come together, realize the Mind Flayer is coming to this reality and they need to figure out a way to stop it. So Joyce and Hopper and Murray infiltrate the Russian base to try to stop them from reopening the gate, which to get them to close the gate again. The boys are on their own to fight the Mind Flayer, essentially. Steve and Robin help as well. Erica's now involved in their adventure. I didn't like Erica at first, which is Lucas's little sister again. She didn't really do much for me, but she had some funny lines, but they redeemed her character because she literally was just being there being the annoying little sister. But as you go along, you realize that she's just as nerdy as the rest of the crew is, and she fits in. And as cool as she thinks that she is and above some of the stuff that her brother's into, the turn that she ends up just being able to join this misfit crew of people who have experienced this supernatural event, I thought that was really cool for her character. Somehow, some way, Eleven is able to reach Steve enough because she was able to go into the Upside Down and see Steve's memories. Not Steve, Billy's memories. She reaches Billy by mentioning his mother. And Billy, realizing what he's done and realizing that he's been possessed and all this havoc he's brought, does the first noble thing he's done in two seasons. He essentially sacrifices himself to try to save the kids, and then the Mind Flayer just literally kills him. So Billy's gone. Joyce and Hopper managed to close the gate, but not before the device they're using to open the gate explodes, killing Hopper. Joyce was behind protective glass. Joyce and Murray escape. So Hopper's dead. Eleven, in one last show of badassery, puts the Mind Flayer down. And I don't remember if that coincided with the gate or if that was completely separate. Let me just check real quick, because I do have it right here. So Hopper throws Grigori. Oh, it is Grigori. Into the machine, calls to go haywire, block his exit. Hopper nods at Joyce, trigger to shut down. Oh, the Mind Flayer, yeah, when Hopper destroys the device, then that instantly kills. When Hopper destroys the device, that kills the Mind Flayer. Eleven's powers have disappeared. They make mention of her having to recharge. Yeah, Andre Evchenko, I know I'm saying it right. Andre Evchenko played Grigori, loved him. He was excellent as the big bad Russian. Mind Flayer dies when Joyce triggers the explosion, killing Hopper, closing the gate. Mind Flayer's gone. So now we've lost Alexei. We've lost Billy, which is Maxine's brother once again. And then Hopper, who's been with us in season one. Joyce and Hopper kind of came to the conclusion that once they got out, they were going to finally have a real date. Joyce was finally ready to allow herself to move on and love again, and then Hopper was taken away. So two seasons in a row, Joyce had to deal with an extreme loss. Bob Newby and then Jim Hopper gone. Eleven's powers are gone. One big thing that Hopper had a problem with all season was how close Mike and Eleven were, because he felt like he was losing his little girl. Hopper had written Eleven essentially a letter, because he had tried to talk to Joyce about how he should talk to Mike and Eleven about how much time they're spending together. Of course, in true Hopper fashion, he said, fuck that. Didn't go with what they had planned out, and then just yelled at Mike and screamed at him, which caused Mike to end up lying to Eleven early on. Joyce had been looking into moving from Hawkins because of after the events of Stranger Things 1 and Stranger Things 2. It's like, and after Bob died, it's like, why stay in Hawkins? Let's move and get a fresh start for... I'm guessing Jonathan went. I mean, Jonathan's graduated. So I think Jonathan went, but Will and Joyce definitely went. So at the end of the series, we find out that Joyce does indeed move after Hopper's death, and everybody's packing up. Eleven reads Hopper's last letter to her, which, of course, for me, with parent triggers and mother triggers, that sets everything off for me. It's really emotional, though, because it's probably one of the few... Hopper was able to write down what he couldn't say, and then getting to leave that for his little girl, it was really a beautiful thing to see. Mike and Eleven are... Eleven's not... Oh, wait! Hopper's gone. Eleven goes with Will and Joyce. Joyce is taking Eleven because her dad is gone now. And it's not like the Wheelers can take Eleven. It's not like the Wheelers know anything about Eleven. Dumbest parents ever. So Eleven, Will, Joyce, and possibly Jonathan are all leaving to go to another town. So there's teary goodbyes on all parts. I believe that Nancy is still with Jonathan, and they did have a fight, but they didn't break up. And I believe that Eleven and Mike are still together. But yeah, the whole crew kind of ends, splits up. And I do want to say, to wrap up Steven Robin's story, Steven Robin had a moment where they were given truth serum by the Russians after they got captured. They did that so Erica and Lucas could escape. And they're literally in the bathroom, and they managed to get back up to the mall, and they're in the bathroom hiding. And Steve essentially tells Robin he's into her, and then because he thought that Robin was into him, but turns out Robin was really into a girl that Steve was trying to get with in high school. So Robin's also gay. So Steve doesn't get the girl again. He's lost out on Nancy. He spent most of the Stranger Things 2 fighting Demodogs. And then tries to get with Robin, and Robin's like, I'm gay, dummy. But they do stay together because obviously StarCourt is destroyed after the battle. They get a job at a local video store. So Robin and Steve will stay together. As friends for now. And then Dustin was able to prove they had a girlfriend because he was trying to remember the... I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to try to see... Let's see. Dustin enlists Susie's help for the for a necessary code, Planck's constant, which... Like, they both went to science camp, both super nerds. It was actually the code that Hopper needed in order to help them shut down the Russian machine. And Dustin didn't know, like, knew Susie, his girlfriend from across the states, came through. And in order for her to tell him the answer, made him sing the theme to Never Ending Story. Wow, hilarious. It was very nerve-wracking because it was like, shut the fuck up and get to the action. This shit's going to happen. You know, that was cool though. So yeah, for the second official time now, the whole gang's been split up because season one, there was the search for Will Byers. And now Will Byers is literally out of the picture, and it's just Lucas and Dustin and Mike, and I guess Max, and Eleven's not even around again, so Eleven's been taken away from Mike again. So all of our characters are scattered to the wind as the season ends. And in the post-credit scene, in case you didn't leave the credits running, they go to a Russian facility in Russia this time. And two guys are like, bring the prisoner, not the American one. So they grab some Russian prisoner, drag him into a room, lock him in. The two guys leave in lab coats. I guess they're doctors. And an official Demogorgon from season one comes rolling in to eat that motherfucking prisoner. So the Russians have a Demogorgon. And I mean an OG. The whole thing that we started with. Oh, and Hopper might be that American prisoner. We don't know yet. We shall see. I'm going to see if it says how much time. Nah. And that's how Stranger Things 3 ends. I loved it. I was watching it on the edge of my car seat, because I was watching it as we were traveling on vacation. Loved every minute of it. I plan on revisiting it in October. Last recommendation is Stranger Things 3. Even if you haven't picked it up for any reason, I don't really know, I'm not into sci-fi and all this other stuff that people say, and it's too scary. Even if for some reason you want to be that guy that started season 3, do it. Or that guy or gal. Do it, because you'll start ripping through these episodes. This series is so good. It's so well done. And seeing all the kids' growth and seeing these characters' story arcs go along, it's one of my favorite shows. And they haven't dropped the ball yet. So, Stranger Things 3, I can't recommend it enough. Love season 3. And I'm going to drink some more coffee.
Hey, yeah, you. You like comic books, anime, and stuff? Sure you do. Who the hell doesn't? And that's why you should listen to a podcast called Fresh. It's like audio cliff notes of ancient texts, painstakingly translated by us for you. So do yourself a favor. Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Trust me, we're everywhere. So don't forget, it's a podcast called Fresh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, and anywhere podcasts are casted.
Wakanda forever.
Now, you've been listening to Hyphenation, the Barack Obama approved world's greatest podcast, brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group, a Morgantown, West Virginia-based podcast collective bringing great podcasts to the people. Also, the Mark Robb, themarcrobb.wordpress.com, written by my semi-regular co-host Marcus Show and Mad Love Robinson. I am your host, Kellen Conley, as always. Now, if you want to check out Hyphenation, you can do so on any podcast platform out there. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn app, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Cloudy Cast, Avalanche. I think that's a thing. I haven't even checked to see if I'm on Avalanche. I don't even know what Avalanche is, other than my two homegirls from Secret Life of Weddings mentioned it, and they were messing with Avalanche. Radio Public, wherever podcasts are sold. And if you're buying that bitch, I better be getting some money, because podcasts are free. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a podcast platform that you use that Hyphenation is not on, let me know. I will fix it, or any of the great shows brought to you by Hyphen Podcast Group. If you want to reach out to me, bhyphen@gmail.com. Chill. Twitter @bhyphen. Facebook /universe. And Instagram, thebhyphen. If you want to do it through Hyphen Podcast Group, that's Hyphen Pod Group on Twitter, hyphenpodcastgroup@gmail.com, Hyphen Podcast Group on Facebook, and Hyphen Podcast Group on Instagram. Love to hear your feedback. Power positivity is real. Get that negativity out of your life, no matter what it may be, no matter what you have to do, you have to do you. Chia. have genuine interactions with people. You never know what the next man or woman is going through, and you never know what that interaction could do for them. One genuine interaction, one positive interaction may save someone's life or someone else's life by extension. Hug your dad. Call your mom. Email your sister. Punch your brother. Telegram your granddad. Wire transfer your grandmother. I don't know. She might need a little money. Let's see. Get on AOL Instant Messenger. That doesn't work anymore. MSN Messenger. I don't even know if that works. Get on some form of Instant Messenger. Text your godfather. Send a message to your godmother. Write a letter to your aunt. Send your uncle a postcard. Send your cousin a message on Facebook. Write on their wall. Tweet them. Wave at them on Messenger. You never know when it's your time to go. Give people their flowers while they're still here. Apologies to Markel Fultz because you're still trash. Words of wisdom. Don't let now be aware of what your actions do to people and the ramifications they have on people, because there are people out there who may be going through some things, and that's quite understandable. I'm a big advocate of mental health. I've had my issues recently and health issues. But for me, being aware of what your actions have and effects have on other people is important, because you may have made, like, say, I'm trying not to use examples because if they happen to listen to this, they're going to know I'm talking about them. But you may have thought for, I don't know, the last 7 years that you were going one direction with something, and then by extension your significant other is with you on this ride, and then over the course of a year, 6 months, 18 months, you feel things starting to change. Don't let it get to the point where when you finally admit what's going on with you and the things that have changed for you, when you admit it to your significant other or even to, I don't know, say a business partner or a friend, when you admit things have changed in certain aspects that you are closely entwined in, don't let it be at a point where you've left this other person completely stuck without having an option to change course easily. That's not fair. Even with there being issues that you're dealing with and you making them aware of said issues, like I said, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a family member, if this person has been there with you throughout this ride and has been supportive of you with whatever you had going on, if you're not being completely truthful, you're putting them in a rock and a hard space, and it looks like you're very selfish. Rock and a hard place. Because while you were aware enough and cognizant enough to explain that you were having things going on, by not being totally transparent, it was almost like you were still lying to them, if that makes sense. Try to be as transparent with people as possible. Now, say there's a surprise party for somebody. Don't be like, hey, how are you? I'm great, and you have a surprise party at 97. No. But say you have a coworker, and y'all are working close on this project, and it's like, you know that you have some things coming up, and here, you've been working on this project a long time, but you got another job offer, and you're going to take this job offer, and you're going to leave them in X amount of time by themselves and have them replace you or figure out something to go on without you. You don't tell them 2 weeks before you leave. As soon as you're able to literally tell them, or even give them the courtesy, like, hey, heads up, I'm probably going to take this other job. I probably only have 2 weeks left by the time that I talk to management and everything. But I wanted you to be prepared and start thinking about how you're going to adapt the situation. Another example. You have a friend who you've literally been friends for years. And I'm going to take this from my book. And then all of a sudden you start having mental health issues, so to speak, and said friend starts blaming themselves for the issues because they felt they weren't there enough for you, but then turns out there was a lot more going on than the other person had any clue about for years. You kind of have to, and in this case, that transparency was hard because of what it involved, but still, when it came out, it made sense as to why the friend was acting that way. If you have a spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, who has literally upped their whole life from the place that they've lived for years and years and years to be with you and support you emotionally, financially, everything while you pursue some goal of your own and has agreed to put off your pending nuptials for these reasons, don't keep them in the dark. Even if you say something's wrong and I'm going through this, you have to be like, and I'm also feeling like this. You have to say the rest of it. Because now said person is now stuck in this place, in this that they don't live in. I mean, they live there, but I mean, they have no roots. You're the root. And now you've suddenly turned the world upside down. It's a weird word wisdom, but essentially what I'm trying to say is try to be as transparent as possible. Because if you do that, it at least gives people a fair warning of what could come down the road. And I understand if it's just too difficult to say sometimes, depending on the situation. But if you can be, just be transparent. That's the word of wisdom. All right, guys. This has been a full-ass episode without any breaks of hyphenation. I'm your dashing, daring, debonair host, yada, yada, yada. Join me next time when we discuss something else. I don't know what it'll be. I'm not saying anything now. I'm not announcing nothing. I almost regret talking about that Kevin Smith episode now, as I feel like Lamb's going to be like, I don't want to do no fucking Kevin Smith episode. Who told you that? I know we've had that conversation, but you just never know. Appreciate everybody who listens to me. Each and every one of y'all mean the world to me that you take that time and hit play on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can get 112 episodes of fire! Wherever you want, wherever podcasts are given to you. Just make sure you do it. Till next time. I'm going to keep drinking this McDonald's coffee and take myself to work. Thanks, y'all.
I've been consuming the content for shit like almost a decade. Like Grantland is, I think Grantland was like what, 2013, 2012? Hold on.
Grantland would have been, yeah, Grantland would have been 8 this year.
Yeah, so I was still in fucking college, goddamn.
Right.
So, yeah,
I mean, was still in college then.
Yeah, man. And like, and so the funny thing is, like, I mean, Grand Line introducing, like, some legit, like, my favorite writers ever. And the funny thing is, like, I even thought about, like, what would happen if I met, like Wesley Morris in person or, like, Rembrandt in person. Like, if I met, like, Wesley Morris, I probably would fan out. I legit probably would fan out.
Yeah.
And so if I, like, met, like, Bill Simmons, like, I'd be like, holy shit, like, it's him. He's, like, right fucking there.
I would bust his balls. I know I would. I'm like, yo, Simmons, can I get a column, please? I don't give a fuck what it's about. Just give me about 2,000 words. That's all I need. I know I would.
I think Grantland is better than what The Ringer is now. I just think that Wesley Morris and Rembrandt and Shay and Bill and, like, the other, like, I think all the OGs from Grantland really set it apart.
Network.
Especially because they were, like, basically sort of the last ones to survive the blog era. But the only reason they really survived is because HBO is subsidizing The Ringer. Like, if it wasn't, yeah. Like, I mean, that's legit all it is. And so it's HBO's money, and then also it's the income, like, from their advertising revenues from their podcasts. And so, like, they have, like, tons of written articles, but it's a lot of stuff that I don't honestly necessarily care to read. Like, there's, like, articles, like, every now and then, like, I'm interested to read. And I think the art direction they have for the website and their posts is actually really, really cool. Like, it's really, really good and innovative. But I don't know, like, outside of the podcast network, do they have, like, writers with personality that you really want to be reading, like, every day? Like with Rembrandt, like, Rembrandt still writes for them, and I always read his shit. But, like, in Grantland, like, I remember, like, just going to Grantland.com. Like, I don't...
Yeah. I would just sit there for... Like, that was my routine, like... Like, at work, I would just go to Grantland and just read everything. It did not matter.
Yeah, and Bill making his hyper long ass columns, like, that shit didn't even matter back then. Like, it totally did. Like, now it's sort of like, I'm like, so I fuck with the Big Picture podcast, and I fuck with Rewatchables podcast, and whenever Shay does a pod, I fuck with Shay's podcast. And I fuck with, like, a couple of podcasts here and there for them, but other than that, like, I'm not really reading the written word. I mean, that's something that is pretty, you know, scary for someone who loves writing. Like I love writing, and I think the difference between being a good writer and a great writer is really high, and getting yourself even noticed, like, that's even harder. So, like, I just don't know, like, what The Ringer is really bringing as far as written words. But, I, like, whenever, like Sean Fennessy, like, he writes really well. Whenever Shay writes, like, that's always going to do numbers. Whenever Rembrandt writes, like, that's always going to be good. But what about the actual generation who is Ringer only? Like, what sort of exposure are they really getting other than just a tweet and a retweet?
Right. So,
That's the depth of the blog era is why even that is really hard, because it's like, you would go to websites every day. Like, you would go to, you have bookmarks, like,
right.
Like, you would have favorites. Like, the only favorites I have on my fucking Chrome or my Firefox is bills I need to pay. That's fucking sad. Like, that sucks. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's just sort of what it is. And so, like, I don't go to ESPN.com anymore. Like,
me neither.
I don't go to, like, just
that anywhere. Shit's got too much going on anyway. It's like, yeah. It's like, I just want to read, like, I just literally want to go to ESPN and be like, see what's going on, like, the big headlines. And it's like, you got 17 different categories, and then like then you got your video, and every single page has video, and it's like, this is killing my work browser. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah, like their shit is all like really trying to be like multimedia based.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of things trying to pull you in, basically. So I'm at a page right now, and like, well, my favorite's already saved, so I can see a highlights or lowlights of the Nationals losing to the Braves. Like, I'm seeing like advertising for like Peyton. Peyton Manning has his own show on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, he does. Reason,
like Papa John's or whatever the fuck needs his help, whatever. So yeah, man. I'm just not going to websites anymore. I live on Twitter, so if I don't even go to like. I used to go to Washington Post. I used to go to WashingtonPost.com and read newspaper articles on their website. I don't do that anymore. Like they got to tweet in. If I see it, I see it. If I don't, I don't. Like, that's
right.
Like, that's just sort of the death of the blogger. Like, that's all that shit has, like, repercussions for, like, you're not just really going to places anymore. Like, you're seeing specific things, and if you want to read it, you'll pick that thing, but you don't have allegiances to websites anymore. Like, that shit's just dead now.
Yeah, it's a rare breed where you, like, the only site that I even go to like that is Pajiba.com, and all they do is cover pop culture and like some politics, and they cover it with such a anti-Trump slant that I enjoy it.
What are they called again?
It's called Pajiba. It's Pajiba.com. That's the only site that I feel like I haven't missed anything in years. And that's mostly because it comes in my RSS feeder. And even when it went down like a month ago, I still went back and read all that shit once they got their shit fixed. I literally was scrolling through their site, make sure I didn't miss anything. Because I just like the way that they do their content.
So you follow them on Twitter, right? You follow them on Twitter, right?
Yeah, follow them on Twitter.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, yeah, like they have like a. I'm looking at their Twitter feed now. Like, it is a bunch of articles that they have. So yeah, I'll follow them on the strength of your recommendation. I'll give them a try.
Cool. I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool, man. Who's Dustin Rawlies for Pajiba? Do you know who that is?
He's the editor-in-chief.
Okay, so he tweets from their account.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the founder. You better wake up. I'm the yawner on this podcast, not you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.